Okay, so let's just briefly recap what we saw yesterday, because the Gemara we're going to see today, Mitzvah Hashem, is very much a continuation. We had a machloikis between Abaya and Rava with regard to an Eid Zomim. An Eid Zomim who was made into an Eid Zomim months after the original Eidus. So obviously, the original Eidus is cancelled. The question is, what about all the interim Eidus? Everything that he's ever testified on in the in-between months, is that cancelled? So Abaya says, well, yes, it is, because it transpires that he's a Rasha. So logic would clearly dictate that all the Eidos in the interim, it's great shame that it's going to cause a big balagan and a hefsed, and then many contracts are going to have to be rewritten about what should we do. At the end of the day, it turns out that every sale that he testified on is null and void because he was a non-kosher eid. Rava disagrees, and Rava says, no, it's only mikan ulahavo. He's only possible from now on in, but all other eidos that he gave in the interim will remain standing. So the question is, what is the machloka? So the Gemara explains, and we had two lishnas. Now, obviously, which is the opinion that needs explaining? It's Rava, because surely logic would dictate that Abaya would be correct. And if it turns out that he's a Rasha, then we have to retroactively consider him a Rasha with all the inconvenience caused. It's just too bad. So the Gemara said two possible explanations in the opinion of Rava. And we're going to see today, Mitzvah Hashem, that there's differences, there's nafkaminas, lahalacha between the two. The first way of explaining was, is that he disagrees essentially. And he says, no, you're right that logic would dictate that he should be possible retroactively, but you cannot apply logic to a case where the whole thing is a chiddush and illogical. Why should the second Edim be believed over and above the first Edim? And the answer is, I don't know, but that's what the Torah said. It's a chiddush. So if it's a chiddush, we just take it from when the chiddush took effect, that's from now, and we'll take it forward, but not backwards. The second version, the Ikkar d'Omri, said no. Essentially, Rava agrees to Abaya and says that that according to logic, yes, logic would indeed dictate that this aid is posel lemafreya all the way back to Nisan. So why does he disagree? He disagrees because he said there's going to be a tremendous hefsed. There's going to be a tremendous hefsed to all those people who bought fields in the interim. Can you imagine anybody who's bought a field based on this guy's Eidus? He now invests a lot of money into the field, and now you're going to tell him, sorry, it turns out the Eid was possible, and we therefore have to make the sale null and void, and you lost all your money. So, in order to prevent that hefsud, Chazal have the right to say, listen, even though you're right, he should essentially be possible and mafreya. We're not going to possible and mafreya only from here on in. So, those were the two versions. Again, according to version one, it's from now onwards, me'ikah hadin, because we don't go backwards with logic on something which is a chiddush. And according to the second version, it's not me'ikah hadin, it's just a takana of chazal in order to prevent hefsed for the lekuchei. So the Gemara is now going to tell us that there are differences in halacha between the two versions in Rava. So have a look at the Gemara. The last word on the line, it's about the 10th line from the top, and we're up to the last word on the line, Mai. Mai beinayhu. Mai beinayhu. What would be the difference in halacha between these two versions? Whether the reason we cannot passel him retroactively is because it's a chiddush, or because we want to protect the hefsed to the luchuchis. What would be a difference? Says the Gemara, my beinayu, what's the difference? Ikka beinayu. Yes, there would be a difference between the two versions. And what is that? De ashidu beitrei, if two gave testimony, bechad. What does that mean, bechad? If two testified against one. So what's the case? Imagine Reuven and Shimon come to Beis Din and they testify that Pliny was Mechallel Shabbos in Bet Shemesh, Shabbos afternoon, Pashas Yisro. All of a sudden, two other Edim come to Beis Din, Levi and Yehuda, and they say, listen, Reuven was with us in Netanya on Shabbos in Pashas Yisro. So we're not trying to be mazim both of the Edim, because we were not with Shimon, but we testify that we were with Reuven. Reuven, I'm sorry, you could not possibly have seen Ploini being Mechalal Shabbos in Bet Shemesh Pashas Yisro, because you, not Shimon, but you, Reuven, were with us in Netanya on Shabbos Pashas Yisro. Fine. So he's now made an Eid Zoymen. Now, if we were to be asked the question, in that case, is that a chidush or not a chidush?
Very good.
So here we can understand it's not a chidush. It's not 2 versus 2. It's 2 versus 1. In the standard case of Imanu Ayisem, when Levi and Yehuda are trying to convict both Reuven and Shimon, and they say the two of you are with us in Netanya, so that's a tremendous chiddush that we listen to the second group of Edim over above the first group. After all, it's 2-2. But where the second group, the two Edim, are testifying only against one of the Edim, well, that's not a chiddush. That makes perfect sense that the two should be listened to, because two obviously has more of a power than one. If that's the case, will Rava agree to Abaya that he will, in fact, be disqualified retroactively? And the answer is, that will be the difference between the two versions. If you go with version A of Rava, that the only reason you take it from now onwards and not retroactively is because Edim Zeman is a chidush and you can't apply logic. But in our case, it's not a chidush. It makes absolute sense that you should listen to the two over and above the one. So if that's the case, Rava would jolly well agree that this aid is made possible l'mafreya. But Masha Ein Kein, according to the second Lishna, what was the second Lishna? The second Lishna said it's nothing to do with whether it's a chiddush or not a chiddush. It's a technicality. We don't want to disqualify an aid retroactively if that's going to cause a tremendous hefsed to all the purchasers. Well, if that's the case, even if two are testifying against one, I would still apply the same reasoning that I don't want to disqualify the Eid Lamafreya because it's going to cause a tremendous balagan and hefset to the Lekuchos. So it turns out, therefore, that we've designed a scenario where, if you want to know, would Rava agree to Abaya in this case, it absolutely depends on the two Lishnas. Have a look at Rashi. Rashi says, "My binayhu, what would be the difference between hani tre lishni, in hani tre tamid rava? What's the difference between these two reasonings of rava?" The answer is tre b'chad, tre kitois sheheidu b'kat zu, shnayim omru lekol echad. So Rashi has expanded the case a little bit. Rashi has said that the case is as follows. Again, you had Reuven and Shimon who came to Beis Din and they said that Ploini was Mechalal Shabbos in Bet Shemesh, Yisroi Shabbos afternoon. In walked now Levi and Yehuda, and also, says Rashi, Yisocha and Zvulun. Levi and Yehuda say to Reuven, you were with us in Netanya on Shabbos afternoon. And Yisachar and Zvulun say to Shimon, you are with us in Yerushalayim on Shabbos afternoon. So both Reuven and Shimon have been proven to be Eid Zomimin. How so? Not by one collective group that puzzled them both, but rather each individual Eid was disqualified by a separate cut. Levi and Yehuda knocked out Reuven, Yisachar and Zvulun knocked out Shimon. If that's the case, it's not a chiddush to say that the last groups are believed, because not two verses two. In each case, it's two verses one. So says Rashi, Chidush Leker. There's no Chidush. There's nothing surprising. There's nothing illogical about the fact that you listen to Levi and Yehuda over and above Reuven. It's two verses one. So therefore, Rava would have to agree to Abaya that yes, you'd disqualify him retroactively. But Pseida de Lekucha is Iker. But there is still that reasoning of a pseida to the lekuchos. At the end of the day, through and nobody's fault, but it turns out that the aid is possible. I don't care how he became possible. So if you're going to now retroactively disqualify him, all the lekuchos are going to have a tremendous hefsed. So Rava would once again maintain, you do not pasul him the mafreya. Larry, you wanted to point out something? Or?
Quick, could you just explain again why two versus two is a kiddush?
Because it's basically, let me just turn up the volume here. Because it's their word against their words. Two say they're in Bet Shemesh and we say, no, we weren't.
Why is that a kiddush?
Why should I believe one over the above the other?
Okay. And what about in a case where they don't attack the Edim per se, like say they don't say the Edim, you, how could you be an Ed? You were with me. But they'll say, we saw Shimon Mimachal Shabbos in Beit Shemesh on Shabbos. And they say, impossible, Shimon was with us.
So that's not Edim Zayman.
Really? Yeah,
the Edus, because Edim Zayman, we learn from Apostle, has to be that the second group of Edim are attacking the first Edim. They're not attacking the case. Therefore, in that particular case, obviously, the first two Edim will be knocked out. You can't possibly kill the poor fellow. But the whole process of Edim Zayman, that you give them the punishment that they were trying to inflict, etc., that will not be carried out. That is a specific Gzeiras HaKosov that only applies when Levi and Yehuda are attacking Reuven and Shimon per se. And by the way, when we say that they're attacking them per se, it has to be with those magic two words, Imonu Hayisem. If they would attack them differently and they would say, excuse me, what do you mean Reuven was Machal Shabbos in Bet Shemesh Shabbos afternoon? We were there and we saw that he was not Machal Shabbos. You saw him picking off an apple from a tree. No, no, we noticed that actually the apple wasn't connected to the tree in the first place. Okay, so it's two verses two. We have no idea who to believe. They both cancel each other. And what happens to this Ploini? Nothing. He goes home. So it's got to be that the second Edim are attacking the first Edim, and specifically with those magic words, Imonu Hayisem. Okay, so we now have...
I guess because it goes to intent. The reason Edim Zomim works where they get punished is their intent was to inflict Nezek. Because they could make... No, because they could have made a mistake. They saw the apple, they saw the guy pick the apple. Maybe they made a mistake. But if I say to you, no, you're outright lying. You were with me. How could you have seen him? Then there was Nezek involved. You were trying to hurt the guy.
Yeah, but if that was the case...
It was amazing.
Yeah, but if that was the case, then the same should be true if the second Edom said that Pliny was with us in Netanya. We don't say that. How could you possibly accuse Pliny of B'mchal Shabbos and Mechemesh and he was with us? It turns out you're downright lying. So it's a special Gzeres HaKosu. It's a special Gzeres HaKosu. So either way, the Gemara has now proven that we have a nafkemina. We have a very clear difference, la halacha, which would all depend on what's the reasoning behind Rava. If the reasoning behind Rava is because it's a chidush, so that's why you cannot disqualify him retroactively, then I would have to discuss what would be in a case where it's not a chidush, i.e. two, a pasling one. But if it's because of a pseida to the lekuchos, it's a hefsed moment. Either way, there's a hefsed moment. So the Gemara now gives another example, which is very similar. Says the Gemara, Inami de Poslinu Begazlenusa. Alternatively, another case, which is that the second group of Edim came to attack the first group of Edim, but not by saying Imonu Hayisem. Rather, by testifying that they're Gazlonim. We are hereby testifying that we know Reuven and Shimon, they're well-known thieves. So that's not a chiddush. Why do we believe the second over and above the first? That's not a chiddush. Every time two people testify about something and he denies it, we don't say it's a chiddush. That's the koyach that two edim have. So if the two edim did not say imonu or yisem, but rather we are coming to testify that these people are rishoyim, they're gazlonim. So there's no chiddush in that case. And if there's no chiddush, once again, Rava would have to agree that they would be disqualified retroactively. Whereas according to the second logic, that it all depends on a hefsa to the lekuchos. So in this case also, yes, they're absolute gazlonim. Yes, they're absolute rishoyim. Yes, it turns out that 6 months ago they were rishoyim, but I'm not going to now disqualify all the edus in the interim. Why not? Because that will cause a tremendous hefsa to all the lekuchos. Look at Rashi. Inami de paslinu lahanu trei. They passed these two, Reuben and Shimon, begazlu anusa. Sheidu, they testified shegazlonim heim. They testified that they are thieves. Al gzeila shegazlu benisan. Not that they're thieves just today, but they were thieves then all the way back in Nisan. So once again, chidush leka. There's no chidush in that. That's not considered illogical. The hamilsa achrini. Because they're testifying about something else completely. It's not just your word against mine. We're just testifying that you are Ganovim. So there's no chidush. However, aval pseida de lekuchais ikka. But there is, however, still a hefsed to the lekuchais. And therefore, if you go with the second logic of hefsed de lekuchais, then Rava would remain unmoved. And he would say, even in this case, you do not passel them retroactively because of the terrible hefsa to the lekuchos that will be ensued. Says the Gemara, Va'oma Reb Yirmia midifti. Said Reb Yirmia midifti ovad Reb Poppy uvda. Rav Poppy once carried out a story. Kvosei de Rava. He paskin like Rava. He once had a story that came to hand, and he paskin like Rava. What does that mean, he paskin like Rava? That the aid was not posel l'mafreya, but only mikan ulahaboh, only from now on. So Rav Poppy is clearly paskining like Rava. However, Ma Baravashi Omar, that no, Hilchas Kvosei da Abaya. He disagrees. He says, I'm sorry. The Loch is not like Rava, the Loch is like Abaya. So we have a machloikus between Rav Papi on the one hand and Ma Baravashi on the other, who to Paschal like. Do we Paschal like Abaya? Do we Paschal like Rava? Says the Gemara in the final analysis. The Hilchasa Kvosei da Abaya. Halacha Lamaisa, the Halacha follows Abaya. Be Ya'al Kagam. What's Ya'al Kagam? In all of Shas, we have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of machleks in between Abaya and Rava. The Halacha generally follows Rava. Just like, for example, we have a rule, Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, we paskin like Beis Hillel. So the rule is Abaya and Rava, we paskin like Rava, except in six cases. And the Rosh HaTevos of these six cases are Ya'al Kagam, Yud Ayin Lamed, Kuf Gimel Mem. Rashi explains to us in a moment what these cases are. One of them is Ayin, Yud Ayin. What does Ayin stand for? Aid Zoimim. That's our case. This is one of the exceptional cases. Now, why this case should be exceptional, I don't know, but this is one of the six cases that we paskin like Abaya. So again, we had a machloikas amuroyim to paskin like Abaya and Rava, says the Gemara, the Halach is like Abaya because this is Ya'al Kagam. Have a look at Rashi. Ya'al Kagam, six letters, Yudayin Lamud, Kuf Gimel Mem. Number one, Yud stands for Yush Shaloi Midas. Ve'ilu Metzias. Machlokes va Yush Shaloi Midas. If you find a Metzia, and then the guy's only Metzia afterwards, Achlokas Abaye, Rava, we pass like Abaye. That's the Yud. What about the Ayin? Ayin is Eid Zoyman, Hacha. That's over here, the case of Eid Zoyman. Machlokas Abaye, Rava, we pass like Abaye, in which case he is Nifsal all the way to Mafreya, back to Nissan. What's Lamed? Lechi ha'oimed me'elov, Perakar de'irvin. Lechi is a pole which stands by itself without being supported. A whole question about its status with regard to Erevin, a machlokes Abaye Rava. What's the kuf? Kiddushin shaloi nimsaru lebia. Where is that? Bo'ish mekadesh. What happens if you have a case of where there's kiddushin, but for whatever reason, it's not shaykh for them to have bia together, to makarin the mitzvah together? Does kiddushin necessarily have to lead on to bia? There are various cases where there cannot be bia for whatever reason. And if that's the case, once again, machlokes Abaye Rava, we pass like Abaye. That's the kuf. What's the gimel? Gilui das begitin. Bashaleach get, also a whole discussion about, I think it means when somebody was megaresh and then he was megale das, he didn't mean it, or he did mean it, also a whole machlokes Abaye Rava. And then what's the mem? Mumar oichol nevela is lahaches lekamom. We're going to see this later on. Mumar is, well, we know what a mumar is. Somebody wants to be over Averas. So if he's eating nevela is lahachis, just to get HaKadosh Baruch Hu angry, is he posel edus? Yes or no? It's also machlokes Abaye Rava. But either way, what's relevant to us is the letter ayin. Ya'al, kagam ayin stands for eid zaymin. And therefore, even though generally in all of Shas, almost without exception, halacha is like Rava, but it's not quite without exception. There are six cases where he passed like Abaye, and this is one of them. Now, says the Gemara, very, very important, because Rabbeisai, as promised, we are now learning the sugya that will tackle the shaila head on, the shaila we've been discussing for a while. In order to be posel eidos, does it need to be money related? Don't forget, the Torah talks about Rasha of Chomos, theft. Says the Gemara, Mumar Oichel Nevelois Leteovoin. What does it mean, Teovoin? We have somebody, and this is very, very important to make a brief introduction. We have somebody called the Mumar. I'm curious, how do Art Scroll translate Mumar?
A renegade.
A renegade. Okay, I think we'll just call him a mumma. Because somebody who's a poishea, he's amazing, he's deliberately over Averis. Now, this mumma can deliberately be over Averis for one of two reasons, and it makes a very big difference la halacha. One is called a mumma oichel nevela, he eats nevela, lete avoin, and one is called lahachis. What's Leteovoin and what's Lahachis? Leteovoin means because he's got a taiva. So I don't claim that I'm innocent. I don't claim that I'm a shoigeg. I don't claim that I didn't know. No, I do know, but what should I do? I just gave in to my taivas. It's a mumma Leteovoin. 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 Then you have a different type of mumma. You have a different type of mumma who also knows what the Avera is. So why are you eating nevela if you know what the is? I'm doing it lahachis because I just want to anger HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't particularly have a great desire. I don't even enjoy eating nevela. So if you don't enjoy eating nevela, why are you eating nevela? I just want to do averas for the sake of doing averas. I want to get HaKadosh Baruch Hu angry. So what are we discussing? We're discussing, says the Gemara, the mumar oichel nevelois leteavoin. Now, which of the two mumrim would you consider more severe? Leteavoin or lahachis?
Lahachis.
Obviously lahachis. Somebody who's la'achis and he's doing it just to anger Kodesh Baruch Hu, we will clearly consider him more severely in all areas of halacha. With regard to our discussion, it might be the other way around. Why might it be the other way around? So have a look. The Gemara discusses.
He must be insane if he wants to anger Hashem.
Yeah, there are people like that. Mumar oichel nevelas leteovai. If somebody is eating nevelas leteovai, he does not want to anger Hashem. He just got the taiva. And he's not prepared to work on his taiva. He cannot give in. At least that's what he claims. And that's why he's eating nevelas. Says the Gemara, Divrei HaKoil Posol. So according to all opinions, he will be considered Posol Leidos. What about, says the Gemara, Lahachis? So I would have thought Lahachis should be even worse. If everybody agrees that Leteovan is Posol, obviously everybody should agree that Lahachis is Posol. Says the Gemara, no. Abaya, once again, another machlekas, Abaya and Rava. Abaya, Omar, posel. Rava, Omar, kosher. So have a look at Rashi before we see the explanation of the Gemara. Sorry, just 2 seconds. So have a look at that Rashi. Rashi says, "Oichal mevelas leteovoin divrei akoil posel." There, there's no discussion. Everybody agrees that if you're an oichal mevelas leteovoin, you're definitely posel leedus. Why? Says Rashi. Now we have to remember. We have to remember, Rabbi Yisrael, we have to medayek very carefully. Which particular macholis asurois is this person eating? Nevelos. What is a nevela? This week's parasha. A nevela is meat from an animal which is perfectly kosher. The animal is kosher, but it was not shechted. So can you please explain to me, what does that mean, leteovin? What's the big taiva to have non-shechted meat? It tastes exactly the same. If you're telling me I'm doing it lahachis, understand he's doing it just to anger HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He gains nothing, tastes exactly the same. What does it mean, leteovin? Which taiva? If it would say he's not eating nevela, he's eating chazir. So then I understand. He has a particular taiva for he wants to eat pork. He claims it's very tasty. But nevela is the same cow that you and I are eating. So what's the big taiva? The answer is he's got one taiva. You know what that is? It's cheap. Kosher meat is always more expensive. So when somebody eats nevela, not chazir, when somebody eats nevela, leteovoin, what does that mean? That which taiva is he giving into? Taivas momoin. That's what Rashi says. Oichal nevela is leteovoin divrei hakoil posel, de kiven de mishum momoin ka'ovid. Seeing as he is doing this for money reasons, the hashchicha bezoil, because it's easy to come across, it's very shchiach, common to find, cheap. By the way, this is very negir every single day. If you go today to the local bedatz, eda charedis, or whichever hech you like, base shchita. Now, inevitably, in the course of things, mistakes are made. And when they shecht an animal, they by mistake mess up the shechita. If they mess up the shechita, then this animal clearly cannot be eaten by a Jew. It's a nevela. So what do? They immediately take it off the line, but they don't just throw it in the garbage. They sell it to whatever, to goyim for cheap, for less. If the shechita is successful, well, then it'll go through the whole process. It'll get a stamp kosher with a bedatz label, and they sell it for more expensive, obviously. Says Rashi, so if it's the te'ovoin, when it's the vela, the shchicha bezoil tfei mitahetera. Because nevela is more commonly found cheap, more than heta, more than permissible meat. So what is his big taiva? Why is he doing this? Havale karosha de chomos. Underline the word chomos. So once again, he's a rosha for chomos reasons. Remember, chomos is a type of theft. But we've always said it's lav dafka theft, anything to do with taivas hamoman. So therefore, if that's the case, if it's a rosha de chomos, that's why upasal edus. And that's why, Rabbi Yisai, we now understand, and we're going to see this now in the next line of the Gemara, that a mumalahachis, although he's a bigger rosha, there's no question about it, but with regard to edus, it's not mumin, or maybe there's room to suggest that he should not be pasul, not because the lack of severity of the avera. It's a very, very severe avera. There's nothing to do with chomos. And this, Rabbi Yisai, is where we are tackling head on, once and for all, does it or does it not all depend on chomos? So in the case of Oichel Neveles L'Te'ovoin, well, then he's possible according to all opinions, because whether or not you need chomos, this is chomos. But the big discussion, says the Gemara, go back into the Gemara. If it is Lahachis, Abaya Omar Apostle, Rava Omar Kosher, what's a Machlekes? Abaya Omar Apostle, the Havale Rosha. Because he's a Rosha. Why is he a Rosha? Because if you eat Nevela, it's just the anger Kodesh Baruch Hu. Well, obviously, there's no bigger Rosha than that. Rava says, so Abaya Omar Apostle, the Havale Rosha, why? Verachmona Omar Al Tosha is Rosha. You can't be an aid if you're a Rosha. The Rava Omar Kosher. Rava says, no, he's actually kosher. Why? Rosha de Chomos Ba'inon. Because we require, it's got to be money related. If I don't disagree, obviously he's a clearly a big Rosha. In fact, he's a bigger Rosha if he's a Mumala Haches than he is if he's a Mumala Te'ovim. But that's not the discussion. So it turns out, Meirai V'Rabbeisai, if we want to answer this question once and for all, do we need him to be a Rosha de Chomos? Does it have to be money related? What's the answer? So Machloikas, Abaya, and Rava. According to Abaya, he just said that Chomos is just an example that the Torah has given. But it's not Dafka Chomos, it's just an example. But so too, a Rosha, if you're Machalal Shabbos, so too, if you're a Rosha, if you're even Avodah Zarah, whichever Avera you do. However, Rava disagrees, and Rava says, no, if the Torah says Chomos, so therefore the way I'm learning the Pasuk is, it's not just an example, rather it's the example. It's got to be, for whatever reason, something to do with monetary tithes. So in the case of Mumala Te'ovoin, that is to do with chomos, that's money. You have a tither for money because it's cheaper. You want to save yourself money and eat non-kosher food. But if you're Mumala Hachis, that's nothing to do with mumin. Therefore, you would jolly well be kosher.
Yeah, but how do they know what a guy's intention is, whether it's Hachis or Mumma or
tither? It depends on the Hasra, depends on what the Edom told him. The Edom will tell him, well, listen to his response. Edom come to him and says, you're not allowed to eat this. He says, well, I don't care, I'm going to eat it anyway, it's cheaper. Or he says, I don't care, I'm going to eat it, I want to make Hashem angry. By the way, in other areas of halacha, obviously we consider a Mumala Hachis more common. I don't know why suddenly there's an echo. We consider generally B'chol HaTorah a Mumala Hachis to be considered more severe for understandable reasons. He clearly is a bigger Rasha. But with regard to Eidos, Rava maintains it's not the severity of the Aveira. Rather, what is it? It is whether it is or isn't Chomos.
Also, Rebbe, in our case of Amonos, aren't we really talking primarily about some form of Gzela? How is this Gzela? He's a Compton.
Yeah, but it's the same Sheirish. It means that you're not makpid enough on money. You don't care about other people's money, or you don't care about the only thing you're interested in is your own money. Therefore, there are various ramifications. Therefore, I'll steal other people's money, or I'll eat Nevela to save myself money. Therefore, you cannot possibly be kosher now to give testimony in a financial case where clearly you have no correct scruples when it comes to money. Whether that will puzzle you for Eidos in other matters of halacha, that we'll see in the Gemara. Okay, we'll hold it over here, Mitzvah Hashem. Everyone should have a wonderful day, Mitzvah Hashem.